Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Ed Cohen. Ed is the owner of Earthly Edibles, CSA. Ed, where is your farm located?
It's located in Corbell, California, which is just outside of Blue Lake.
Everybody knows Corbell because it's so nice and sunny there.
It's amazing. It's right across the river from Blue Lake. It's actually often 5 degrees plus warmer than Blue Lake. It's just the further you get away from the fog, the warmer
it is. Wow, and Blue Lake's got to be 10 degrees warmer than the coast.
15.
Oh my gosh.
During the summer.
And how big is your farm out there?
Currently, I have 13 acres. It's a long-term lease situation, and I have access, if I need to, in the coming years, to about 5 or 10 more acres on the same ranch.
Okay, that's quite a bit of territory out there. How many farmers do you have working with you?
Well, I have some interns and friends, and it's a very, very small, tight crew. A lot of things are done with tractors and things like that to make it a little bit simpler and streamlined.
And living out and being out in that area, you get those crops that we don't get on the coast. Seems like a lot of the crops that you grow, we tend to associate with being inland crops, usually found in like Willow Creek or Orleans or Pequon or something like that. What sorts of things do you grow out there?
Well, I grow 30 different varieties of crops, some of the crops that you're talking about that I am able to grow in Corbell is watermelon, cantaloupe, tomatoes, peppers, things like that. All those fruits I just mentioned are all dry farmed, so I'm on an alluvial flat between the North Fork of the Mad and main stem of the Mad, so it's a high water table, so I'm able to dry farm all those all season long. And then I do 20-25 other different types of row crops, including apples also.
Tell me about dry farming, because as I understand it, that mulch is used to keep the water from evaporating and holding the water in the soil.
Well, dry farming is a method of farming, and it takes conditions. Number one, you have to usually be on an alluvial flat, ideally near a river or something like that, where the water table is fairly high, and you need a certain soil texture that will allow water to wick, move up and down both. So it's basically, I guess the to make it simple, is most dry farming is you direct seed in the spring when there's still plenty of moisture in the soil, and you plant really deep. Usually you plant your seed anywhere from 1 inch to 3 inches down, depending on the conditions. And the theory there is you're planting it really deep, it germinates, it sprouts and grows. And as the soil moisture is drying up during the summer, those roots are already started deep and they go very, very deep. Environmental benefits from that is you're not watering at all. So there's no leaching of nutrients that you add or that are present. The weed pressure is way less because you're not watering. Whenever you water, you're always bringing up new weeds. And then as far as the mulch, you're using the dirt as your mulch. You're not bringing in any extra mulch. So when you're cultivating down a certain, maybe 6 inches, you're always hilling up a little bit around. So that's keeping the moisture, works through capillary action in the soil, so it stays higher. So that's kind of dry farming in a nutshell. And here in Humboldt County, we're able to dry farm everything in the squash family, which is, watermelon to zucchini to cantaloupe. And then everything, corn we're able to dry farm. And then nightshades, potatoes, tomatoes and peppers and things like that.
When I was looking into dry farming on the internet a little bit ahead of time, it said that drought-tolerant crops were generally dry farmed, but some of those I don't think of as being drought-tolerant.
Well, people don't realize, like the squash family, watermelon, it's kind of counterintuitive, really, because it's water, a high water content, but those evolved in the desert. So they put down amazingly deep, extensive root systems. And, potatoes are a tuber that's, fairly deep in the ground, and they have a lot of storage in themselves, and then they put down roots deep, too. So, and then corn also, corn evolved, as a lot of people know, down Mexico and in the southern United States. So it also has adapted to grow a very fast, extensive root system.
You also grow some apples out there. What sorts of varieties of apples do you grow?
Well, out in Corbel, there's 200-year-old plus Gravenstein apples, which are heirloom variety. They're magnificent and beautiful. They came with my leased land. I have my test orchard, which is near where I live on West End Road, and I have about 800 full dwarf apple trees. And these are all newer varieties. There's a Gala Cross. Honeycrisp is the main tree that I grow. And a couple other trial trees, like 20 or 30 other different varieties. And I'm gearing up on my current leased land in Corbel. My dream, what I'm working to is to plant about 2,000 to 3,000 full dwarf apple trees.
Wow.
And grow them. It's called a high density planting method, is where you grow them in rows, kind of like grapes. It's not a espalier where you prune them flat. You actually let them bush out, but you plant them very close in row, approximately anywhere from 3 to 6 feet.
And how tall do these dwarfs get?
They top out anywhere from 8 to 10 feet. 10 feet would be the maximum. So there's a lot of benefits. You know, there's really no orchard ladders needed, and that is amazing because that, you know, decreases a lot of chance for someone falling off and getting hurt, number one. And just body mechanics is much easier. We can just pick from the ground. And full dwarf trees go into production much sooner. A full standard tree might take anywhere from 5 to 10 years to be in full production. With the dwarf trees, it's between 3 and 5 years. They're up to full speed.
Are these mostly eating apples, baking apples, or combo?
What I'm targeting, if you will, is a fresh eating apple. Yeah, the Honeycrisp is a high quality, you know, apple, good storage life and incredible taste.
I love those apples.
Yeah, they're really
those
good.
Are great. Now, one of the interesting new things or new areas that you're getting into, you have a CSA. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about first what a CSA is.
Well, it stands for Community Supported Agriculture. It's taking it a step closer to intimacy. Like you have, you know, wholesale to the stores. You know, we're a local farm. I sell to stores and they list my name, and there's that level. You know, then there's farmers markets, which is a little bit more intimate, where, you know, the people are actually buying from me personally. And then the CSA model is where families are buying shares, basically part short-time ownership in the farm. So they buy shares at the beginning of the season. We have half shares and full shares. And that gets them 22 weeks. So every week for 22 weeks, they get a box of produce. And then every month we have family days where people are invited to come out to the farm and see where their food's being grown and actually get to participate in the food that they're eating. So it's a special connection for the consumers and us farmers, where that relationship is really, really tight.
And you have different pickup points for the boxes of vegetables as well, fruit and vegetables.
Right. Yeah, we decided on doing that because since we're out in Corbel, we're kind of off the beaten path. There's other local CSAs around Arcata that are centrally located, so they do on-farm pickups. So for the carbon footprint and just ease for folks, we decided to use farmers markets as a avenue to distribute our CSA shares. We distribute in McKinleyville, Arcata, Eureka, and Blue Lake.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. And now the interesting new area that you're kind of exploring, it seems, is offering canning classes as part of the CSA.
Yeah, it's a kind of a separate additional component to the main food CSA. And my friend Lindsay came up with it. It's kind of her baby. And it's basically, it's very compatible with the CSA model because it's learning what to do with sometimes excess food. Anyone that's grown zucchini at any time knows that it doesn't take many zucchini plants to just have zucchini coming out of your ears, you know? And so with this canning class, we'll be teaching different canning methods, pickling zucchini and things like that. And I believe it's going to be 4 different workshops throughout the summer, and each workshop will have a different food item and how to can it, the whole process from taking the raw vegetable, what to blend, how to process it, and through the canning process.
If people would like to get more information about those canning classes, where should they go?
They're welcome to call myself at my home at 707-822-8841.
This is Jennifer Bell. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Ed Cohen, owner of Earthly Edibles.
Thank you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.